Blog Talk Radio. Heim og kvad i sång i liv, vakna dig och edelige dränge, de höjre nyckeln på havet skri, för de eb sover dig för länge. Heim och kvad i sång i lund, vakna dig och edelige dränge, de höjre nyckeln den hejing hund, för de eb sover dig för länge. Nyckeln han talar till styringsman, vakna dig och edelige dränge, du styrer mitt skip på kristet land, för de eb sover dig för länge. Ik vill med på Kristi lam gå, vakna dig och edelige dränge, den vene jomfru var villig få, för de sover dig för länge.
Hey everybody! I'm Golden Hawk, and this is the Mystical Mother Earth Show, and I'm really glad that you're here. Sit down, get comfortable. We're going to spend some time with each other. I'm really glad my co-host is here, too.
Okay.
The fabulous, the wonderful, the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine. Yay!
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Thank you.
Yay, Janine! You're getting the full 11 seconds of that applause. Yes.
Nice. And I'm glad you're here.
It's a good thing both of us are here. The show just goes so much smoother when that happens, doesn't it?
Yep. Like two little ants working together.
Yes, indeed. I was telling Janine before the show went on that I spent some extraordinary time in the forest today. Just felt so good, grounding, and I feel literally like my wires, I don't even know if they're etheric or physical, but it feels like when I'm tangled up, and not necessarily, you know, tangled up, you know, to the point where, you know, I'm going to jump off a bridge. I mean, just not feeling flow and not feeling kind of totally relaxed. There are days I just go to the woods and I mean, it was just exquisite out there today. Just exquisite. Really, the green is popping everywhere, and the smell of the ferns have, you know, kind of sprouted, and there's this sweetness, and it's just so earthy. And so anyway, so I was telling Janine, what I do is I always have snacks with me, you know, some, you know, kibbles and bits kind of stuff, and but I always bring crackers with me too, because what I do is I take, you know, like, you know, one or two crackers, and I crush them like in a perimeter around where I'm sitting, so the ants have something to eat as opposed to eating Goldie.
I absolutely love that.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, it's also it's entertainment when you're in the woods. Watching these guys, I can't tell you how many times I have just, like, you know, kind of faded out watching a little ant struggle with, like, a big piece of cracker. You know, like, the work that it puts in, and, you know, ants can carry, like, up to 300 times its own weight. I mean, they're really extraordinary beings. But I was telling her, so today, you know, I put my crackers out, and the ants were, you know, I saw them, and they were, you know, gathering and you know, bringing that to wherever their ant hill is. But there were these two ants that had a worm, a little, it could have been a termite. It was one of those worms with like a lot of rolls. And it was like a pinkish looking worm. Well, and the funny part was each ant had one end of, I mean, the worm was like less than an inch long. I mean, maybe a half an inch. And so each ant had one end. And, you know, I was cracking up because I was thinking of it as me and Janine in the sense of they had to work together, you know, and I was watching, you know, they couldn't go two separate ways. No, you know, one would lead for a little bit, then the other one would start leading for a little bit. It was just such an extraordinary visual of partnership and cooperation and, you know, of course, you know, the worm thought it sucked, you know, and I thought about it at one point, you know, pulling the worm out and giving each one, you know, a piece of cracker. And I went, no, the prime directive is we do not interfere.
Oh, that's so great.
So I didn't interfere. I just took the wisdom from it, blessed them all, and had a fantastic day in the forest. It was really, and it's supposed to rain for the rest of the week around here, so...
Yeah, for the next three days.
I kind of knew that, and I was like, go today, just go. And it actually, I got a nanny gig. Wani needs me for Wednesday or tomorrow, and I gotta tell Scott that. And I got another nanny gig Wednesday night, so which is good. You know, I get to see my kids. I got a new family I'm working with.
That's
all
great.
Pretty wonderful stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
feels like everything's supporting. You know, as long as we're in the trust place, it just seems to be really working. And I was in the woods today too, and I mean, I would go around a bend, and there was this big, beautiful quail who then went into the greens, and like I walked by her, and we just kind of like looked eye to eye, and then I came down the path, and there was the most beautiful box turtle in the dirt, and I just left her alone and watched her. You know, move away, and her markings were incredible. I took a picture of her.
Her markings were incredible.
Yeah, they really were.
And then we
spoke briefly, which was amazing because the synchronicity was all there. And then I hung up with you and looked up, and there was the hawk flying over the meadow. It was just one of those days, you know.
It is one of those days. At least for us, you know. I don't know about that worm.
Well, that's true. But no,
so
this is true, and
it's a pretty shitty day for that worm. That worm is not appreciating the cooperation of those two ants. But I'm silly as a goose.
Well, that's good.
Well,
really
it is.
Good.
It is tough. No, right on. We've had the days where we've been the worm too. I mean,
I know.
You know, right? I mean, I am, you know, extremely pleased to share that. I feel grounded. I'm feeling very confident in myself again. The integration for the last couple of months, last couple of weeks, you know, has all fallen into place. And you know, one thing I want to talk about too, which I think is, you know, something I believe it's universal, and that is that as we're on this journey of quote-unquote ascension, the way people are, you know, kind of coming in and out of our lives, and I want to share for me, and, you know, Janine's going to share, because I don't think we can really go, you know, how do I phrase this? I think it's important that when we're looking at our own belief systems, there are definitely limiting belief systems around, hey, Lise. For some reason, I see Lucy and I think I love Lucy. I swear to God. It's like Lucy and Ricky are here. Call Ethel and Fred. It's a party. and Simon's here too. Hi, Simon. I'm so glad you're here, babe.
Hi, Simon.
Anyways,
So
I think it's important to talk about that, you know, how we feel about people coming in and out of our lives. And I mean, you know, really potentially have significant people, family members, friends that have, you know, might have been our friends for, you know, a long time. because the journey really does take us to a place where, you know, I can tell you from my own experience that in the past couple of weeks, it has become so clear to me that people who do not resonate, you know, in my world anymore. And I honestly, I love these people. But truth is, I don't like them. I'm not resonating. I'm not resonating in the, for me, anyways, the sense that the drama is really just getting recycled back into their, like a washing machine. You know, they're hitting spin cycle again, and I'm just finding that I don't really have, I don't have room for that in my world, and you know, it definitely comes, it comes back at me, you know, with, you know, oh, Goldie, you say you're all spiritual and you don't care and, you know, you're this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, and I really know that I'm done with these people when I don't even care that that's what they're saying about me. It's like, you know, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I agree. Okay, well, now I'm going to go, you know, because.
Yeah, you don't get a charge from it.
I don't get a charge from it.
Yeah.
I just get that, you know. These are really intense times. They're definitely intense for me. And, you know, I really am starting to kind of get that if the people kind of that I want to play with, so to speak, are really the people that have, you just have to be done with blame. I just can't be in someone's life if they're still blaming. And I'm not saying that doesn't come up, you know, when we go deep into our things. But it's got to come up from the point of view that you recognize there's no one out there, you know, doing the triggering. And, you know, we have all really challenging stories. But I have – my circle is really based on people that take full responsibility for it, even though that doesn't mean we understand it. I don't understand all of my creations, but I'm fully responsible for them. And you know, the big one is the lack of blame. You know, the people that I choose to, you know, play with and talk with and share my life with, you know, which would be all of you guys out there. No, you know what I mean. clearly have that in their repertoire. And that just is, I think it might be coming up for many of us because, what I've been hearing lately in the channeling grapevine is that the month of May, specifically coming up in the middle of the month between the 10th and the 17th, like there's like going to be a tsunami wave of spiritual energy. Nobody's really kind of given specifics, but they're basically saying it's going to really, the whole planet's going to be saturated with it. It's going to be very intense. And so, you know, I think these kind of things start coming up for all of us. You know, it's not just me, it's all of us. And there, from my experience, you know, the job we're doing, so to speak, the ascension, you know, the whole idea of, and it's whatever you want to call it, finding your center, becoming whole, it really is a job that it's only about self. I mean, it's about us getting inside of ourselves, committing to this, and then sharing it with other people who are inside themselves, sharing what's going on. But the level of commitment, you know, it's like I'm noticing in my own life that I can hold balance, like, you know, with me and my boyfriend / husband, you know, but it's like that balance is held, you know, by a string the width of a human hair. Like, it does not take much to just get my world rocked. And it seems to come when I'm, like, really, you know, kind of in, you know, the stupid zone of, you know, people coming back into my life that are, you know, what I would call serial drama people. They're just, you know, they're just not, the drama has a new face and a new name, but it's really the same old drama, you know. And so, you know, it's like spring cleaning. You know, I'm cleaning house with this stuff. I'm cleaning house with people. And I'll be honest with you. If the commitment is to, you know, to kind of get through this, you know, with some level of grace, I wouldn't be too surprised if significant people who were significant in your life at some point need to go. And it's, you don't stop loving them. You just simply, because the empathicness I'm sensing right now too is like, from my own experience, I mean, the phone has been ringing and I'm like, that's blah, blah, blah. That's this person. I mean, I can feel them on the phone or as everybody saw, well, I don't know if everybody saw, I'm just going to share real quick the letter with George. Mm-hmm. That, I had written George a letter, George Kavassalis, to invite him to do a show. I'm not going to give out the details of the show, but it was a very specific show, and I sent it on March 9th. And a couple of days ago, I had still not heard back from them. And, you know, he's writing his book. It's all good. They're busy. So I pulled up the letter, and I was tweaking it a little. I tried to resend it twice. It would not resend. And I was actually sending it to a different address, a media address that I had seen on his website, and said, oh, maybe the reason why they're not answering it is because I sent it to the wrong place to ask for a show. And so to make it, you know, okay, so it wouldn't go through twice. So I saved it as a draft and went, okay, obviously something's telling me, don't send it. The following day, Cynthia, the wife, George's wife, sent me an email that they're still, you know, pretty busy with the book, but they love the idea and they want to do the show. You know, and I'm going, you know, I found that to be personally incredibly amazing. It's like, I have also noticed lately that I'll go on somebody's wall, somebody's Facebook wall, that, you know, people that I know, like, from the past, and the next thing you know, they're calling my house, or, you know, it just seems like no act that I'm doing is everything seems to have pertinence and importance, you know, and yeah. Synchronicity is bundled up. It's like the spiritual energy that is that's alive in me right now is making me extremely aware of, you know, it's no longer about being polite. It really is, you know, this is where the rubber is going to meet the road. This is where our lives, we're going to make choices that are going to be difficult on one hand, but, you know, truly, you know, significant to our growth, our personal growth, on the other hand. And to make those choices, because it almost feels like at this point, we're not going to get the juice out of our lives if we're just thinking these incredible magical thoughts. We really have to implicate it into our actions and into our choices and into our decisions, because it appears to me to be the only way to actually experience the magic. The magic doesn't come when you're doing what you've always been doing. The magic comes when you change it up and you do it different. And I'm hoping the difference is basically, you know, you're it's one little thing. Just live your dream. Don't go follow your joy. Yeah. Even though I do want to say one thing, I'm watching people, and I want to say this too, and then I'll be quiet. I love you.
We're carrying more.
Yeah, no, exactly. This way, Janine. This way. Right. I have so much to share because I was in such a crazy space last show, and I'm so grateful that. You know, to be able to share that, you know, it's the insights that come from the dark spaces. This is, I can't emphasize this enough. The insights always follow the periods that we integrate the hard stuff that it is to integrate. The stuff that's ours, when we're triggered, it is ours. There is nothing outside of us. It's ours. And if we can integrate it, not if we can, when we integrate it, mm-hmm. That's the optimism, when we integrate it, the wisdom is profound. And one of the things I've been noticing lately on Facebook is people that are getting things, I'm seeing them with like jobs and you know, creative people. I'm noticing, because I tend to have a lot of artists, and what I mean by artists is entrepreneurial people. That's the people I resonate with, and that's awesome. And a lot of things are coming to them right now, and I'm very happy for everybody, including my beloved Janine. I'm very happy, but I'm noticing they're getting blissed out, and this is not Janine. These are certain people on Facebook, and it was striking me today that, you know, it's very interesting. It's wonderful when things go our way, but, you know, there's character in being able to hold a sense of joy. And joy is not happy, and joy is not bliss. Joy is the space that even when things are being taken away from you, or you know, being, you know, the destruction is happening in the cycle of our lives, there's still that sense that you know it's still just this too shall pass and everything shall pass. You know, it's all temporal, and I'm not saying don't get excited, and I'm not saying don't get upset, but there seems to be this, it's a connection I can just tell, and I know it because, see, I've been through it. What I just went through the past month between not getting paid and, you know, eliminating some friends from my life, this is not, quote-unquote, a joyful time, a happy time. It's not a happy time, but the joy that I know is because I'm understanding the value of my soul. And it is a very different energy than the bliss you get when you get three clients and your boyfriend cooks dinner for you, you know, and there's a new dress waiting for you on your bed. And I'm not saying those aren't awesome things, but the value of your soul, when you die, that value will follow you. That value will go with you. And at this point, you know, we're in the end of the Mayan cycles. You know, I don't think any of us have to die potentially unconscious. We're going to all die consciously. So it's like, I'm not trying to bring up death, but I'm trying to bring up the value of the soul. That is what it can be tapped into right now. So be happy when the red dress is on the bed, and be sad when the cake falls off the counter and makes a mess. I don't know. But keep a perspective that there's something, I don't know, there's just something very powerful about understanding the language of the soul, and the language of the soul talks to us through value, not through stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to share that.
Yeah, what I was thinking too is when I was listening to, you know, when things are working, when things aren't working, there's a sense of, you know, escalation or inflation, or then there's sometimes, oh, it's not working, and there's deflation. And, you know, you could, as long as you're aware of the fact that could very much just fit into the drama area as much as, you know, anything where there's this drama going on. And, you know, if you can catch that you're in a place of drama, even though, you know, we don't think of drama as high or inflated or happy, but we think of drama as things aren't working and it's all, you know, it's not good and I'm not happy. But there's another flip side of drama, which is just this inflation and this the other scale, the other side of the things aren't working, and it's everything's acted out and it's very dramatic. And I think what's really good is to recognize that, you know, these all measure as drama. And, you know, and it's just a good awareness because, you know, I mean, we can catch ourselves and, like, I've had some really wonderful things happening lately and they feel great. And there's stuff that I've been doing before that you can see almost how it's falling into place. Like, I've handled things.
Okay.
And then, you know, and it's falling into place and it feels wonderful. But, I think that there's these highs and lows that you could almost go, well, they still fit in that drama paradigm. And you want to, you know, hey,
exactly.
Do whatever you want. I'm not here to tell anybody nor you, but just be aware of that those kind of fall into that artificial drama thing. And it's you know, it's also what I've noticed, and it was about your empathy and your empathic and, you know, tapping in. And I've noticed that there's a quick reactionary time of thought and word to then what happens. And I think that when you're doing this kind of authentic soul value awareness, that there's a response in your world that really kind of meets that immediately, and you get to look at it. And yeah, you can be activated and you can be charged, but it's very quick to come into your world. Like, you know, you'll like I was joking with Goldie, but it's really true. I said, well, you said the F word, you know, and the F word is freedom. And then, you know, when you say, you know, and I say the word infinite, or, you know, well, we talk about the authentic self and those vows that we kind of did on New Year's Eve, and you see that, you know, these are to be taken, quote, kind of seriously, because they really are being heard by ourselves. And, you know, and the, what I would say, the cooperating creative forces, and it's for our good, but, you know, they're coming in quick, and, you know, we're moving through processes. And the beauty is if you move through them more effortlessly and get it and don't hold on to it so long, it doesn't have to be as anguishing. It doesn't have to be filled with angst. I mean, there's this awareness of, I almost think that this timeline or this time is helping us process quick if we let it, if we own it, if we, you know, take responsibility for it and then let it go, because this isn't about judgment. And, you know, why do we hold on to issues? I mean, probably because we're afraid to be wrong, or, oh my God, I made a mistake, and who cares, you know? But the quicker, and I love that. I just read a quote that was so great. I think it was about, oh yeah, Ken Robinson, who I love, this British guy who talks about creativity and outside the box and not, you know, conventional. But he just said that it's all about the willingness to make mistakes. You know, so here we are, and it's like, just let it process in and get it and move on. And it's not so angst-ridden, you know, and I mean, you and I have been...
Well, you really can move through things quickly. I mean, and these are, you know...
And I think the times are supporting that.
I think the times are supporting it as well.
I even think that there's more power in words right now. I mean, you know, you say a word, I say a word, and then it's like right up there, and, you know, and I'm amazed by it, you know,
Words matter? No, words turn into matter.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, somebody just said, they're synchronous. Jules just said that to me on the phone
before.
I called. That she heard literally words matter.
Well, they are. They're an energy. They're a power. They're coming from yourself. You know, they're put out there like on the airwaves, like we're doing right now. There's a reaction to your words. There's a response from from ourselves. And, you know, and the more you become aware of this, it is amazing that you'll see something. Like, it's almost like if you move into water, the water comes around you, and it's almost like you put a word out there, and then the energy comes around you, and it's like the word created something. And, you know, see, that's like fun for me, because I just like watching. I like watching those kinds of things. I like that kind of awareness, and I just love to see, you know, the moving process that you and I are going through. We're sharing it. We're putting it out there. I loved last week's show, because I loved where we got off, and we were like, how was that? And we're like, well, I don't know. But it seemed as though so many people really really needed that show as much as you and I needed that
yeah,
show.
Yeah, no, right,
you know?
On,
and
right
we,
on.
You
yes,
can never, we don't true, have the answers to what, where, when, and how. We just do it, and yeah, it's, and it's kind of what's meant to be, you know, so... Yeah, so...
Well, it's authentic, because, you know, people tell us all the time, right, this show is really about authenticity, you know, because one of the things I'm kind of running into with the people that I've been, like, talking to, of course there's new people, because, you know, when you get rid of the old, new people show up.
Right.
So there's been people I've been talking to on the phone, and one of the things that I'm getting kind of clearly is... The people that I tend to, you know, like, because you know how they say everybody has people that they can help. Like, you know, I used to be a drug addict, so clearly talking to drug addicts would be easier because there's some respect in the sense of they know I know. I've been through what you've been through. Now, you know,
sure.
I haven't been a pharmaceutical drug addict, and I think that's actually a little different. So, but you know what I'm saying? You want to talk to people who have kind of crossed a bridge, you know, maybe made it to a space. They tell this even with success. You know, you want to follow success, follow somebody who's successful. So what I'm finding lately, the things that I'm talking to people about, particularly women, and I want to share this, is it's they're wrapped really tightly in the good girl belief system, that getting in touch with their anger, getting in touch with their, you know, the bad girl. And it's funny because I was speaking to a friend of mine yesterday, and she basically rented her house out to some guy who's very controlling. And, you know, and I said to her, you know, perhaps this is because it's time for you to find your strength. You know, I go, and it's not necessarily that find your strength to get rid of him. You know, it might be finding your strength to find a balance with him. Because, I mean, I understand, because I said, when, because I was inviting her, I go, find your bad girl. You know, because, I mean, I'm talking, this is a light worker to the max. Everything she talks about is about bringing it to love, bringing it to light. And I'm like going, you know, well, why don't you just kind of stand up and, you know, give this guy a piece of your mind? You know, like, you know, even... just to express it, or at least express it to me. Are you mad? Show me that you're mad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it's not that I'm not all for having things come to resolution in love, but see, in my humble opinion, read the energies of what's going on right now. I was listening to an interview with Penny Pierce, whom I just absolutely adore, that woman and what she speaks on. And she said, right now the planet has reached a frequency that the frequency of the planet is, there is no longer a subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
It's conscious. Everything that everybody pushed into their subconscious, which was pretty much anything that didn't feel good, is now it's being released based on the frequency of the planet. So I'm not saying don't rejoice in love. I'm not for war. Remember what I said at the beginning of the show? This is about being responsible for our stuff. So she invites a guy into the house and, you know, to live and to pay rent. And I guess he's giving her, you know, shit about paying rent. And he's just a real controlling, third-dimensional kind of guy. And I look at this and I go, because, see, the opportunity for you to grow some balls has just showed up. But balls doesn't even necessarily mean that she has to scream at this guy. But speak your truth. Speak
yeah,
your truth. Listen, you're going to pay me, or you've got 30 days to exit the place, or whatever you're going to say. I mean, I can't speak another's truth, but I can tell you that I speak my truth, and I did not learn the language of courage in the gates of heaven. I learned courage by walking through hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't emphasize it enough that this is not about just being the good girls and the good boys. This is about the integration of all the parts of us. And if the frequency of the planet right now is releasing all of our subconscious, the subconscious is really basically stuff that didn't feel good.
So what's coming in our triggers are stuff that is us that needs to be integrated. And so I told her, you know, I was like, when you're kind of looking to connect with the bad girl, you know, I go, see, the good girl resolves everything, you know, easy breezy Japanese. I go, the bad girl, she could be at this for months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because all the rules change. The rules change when you're playing a bad girl and when you're playing a good girl. And the truth is, you should not be afraid of your bad girl. I mean, I'm not afraid of my bad girl. I mean, probably too much so. I'll be honest with you. I'm trying to integrate more of the good girl.
Right, and that would be true. The flip side is always true that, you know, those that, you know, are only, you know, are good at identifying with the strong bad girl boundary setting, that doesn't work for me, you know, then you want to be, then that might be like, yeah, you know, be more aware of the softer girl, the
well, exactly.
What I noticed, sorry, though, is the third being what Penny Pierce said, it just struck me that with the subconscious being kind of all up and up now, up above ground, I really
right.
think
it's conscious
from
now. It's
my
conscious.
Own perspective, that supports what I'm thinking or feeling about there's a quicker reactionary time now. So it's supporting what we need to deal with. And so, you know, for her with this tenant where clearly the boundaries have not been set, clearly the boundaries of this isn't working for me, and, you know,
right.
so there's decision. There's this could be handled quickly. This doesn't have to be drawn out, you know. I think that the time is supporting, you know, it's like, say the word, it shows up. Ask for what you need, which is clearly for her, it's boundary setting and saying what's not working for her, and,
right.
you know, she will have wonderful, quote, payoffs, and I don't mean she'll get paid rent. That, in fact, might happen, but her payoffs will be greater than that. They'll be...
Well, right, exactly.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's because...
Because this,
you know,
is the soul work. This is,
yeah,
the
this
soul
is, right.
work.
So it's beautiful. And
soul
it's,
work
it's,
isn't just about activating your DNA in the sweet and loving space. That's just... That is a New Ager cell.
No,
that
that's
is not
just
the
an
truth
accommodating
of soul.
Nature and an accommodating nature... You know, isn't really, you know, you're not standing in the center. It's okay to say that's working, that's not working. There's no blame
yeah.
or judgment. There's no I hate you. There's no, you know, no, you know, no doesn't mean, you know, we can't come to an understanding. It just means this is not working and this was our agreement. And, you know, she has a real opportunity here to feel really good about herself and handle
right.
it.
Right.
You know, and there's that angst thing again. See, it doesn't have to be so angst-ridden. You know, I noticed my languaging has been changing where, you know, I used to maybe say, oh, this is so hard to do. And then I'm like, well, this is easy to do. And, you know,
exactly.
And, yeah, and it's
exactly.
like there's a flip in the belief system because, you know, whatever I needed to get that I thought things had to be hard to do, that seems to have worked its way through. And now my language and my probably awareness, it's just different. Not, you know, it's like chemistry. The substance is completely different now. It's a,
yeah,
it's
right
a different,
on. Right on.
You know, it's a different tincture. And so, you know, yeah, so this is
you're
an
such a cute tincture, Janine.
this is just a, you know, but I get excited, and I think you probably, you know, remember this just recently when I go, no, this is really good news. And you're like, well, I don't know about good news. And I'm like, yeah, this is good news, you know, to be able to see something so clearly and for her. It's so clear and easy. It shouldn't, what's ever getting in her way of making a decision for her own good, that's it right there in the nutshell.
Well, it's the belief that she can't do it. I mean, because we talked and she's like, I don't know if I can do it. And I was like, I go, the opportunity is arising to show yourself, you know, and this is the idea of value. See, our life has such beautiful value because, you know, I've been thinking a lot lately and contemplating, you know, geez, how much of my life has to fall apart, you know? And then it struck me, you know, it's like,
Well, it's falling apart in ways that I need to see the value of me.
Right.
You know, it's like, because, you know, it's not like, like one of the big things that came up for me with the woman not paying me for the nanny gig was, you know, the street girl came up in me, you know, where, you know, call a few of the old friends, you know, I had our house key, show up and, you know, just start removing things from the house until the $1,000 was hit or the $900, whatever. You know, and, you know, it's a part of me. It's a part of my history. So that came up. And, you know, and then I was like, really, Goldie? Really? You know, and you're going to talk about that on the air? You know, it's like, you know, what are you going to do with this? And it's like, so I had to find the happy medium. And the happy medium was, you know, so clearly like, wow, for 1 month, you know, I played with this adorable little five-month-old boy that hands down, he has created a, I'm going to call it a waft of spiritual energy of me parenting.
Yeah.
I mean, which is exactly what, you know, I was going into going, I'm a part-time mom with this gig. And I have no idea where that energy is going to take me.
Right.
But in my magical world, he birthed that with me, and the mom helped me do it, and all it cost me was $900. I mean, I was joking with Janine going, you know, I have worked with Al Mean. I've worked with other masters where I have paid $1,000 for, you know, for courses that, you know, I felt good and I was with some like-minded people, but they didn't really change my life, you know, in the way I thought they were going to change my life. You know, I just kind of gathered more information, and I mean, that was just my experiences of some of these things that I paid a lot of money for. And, you know, I was, it struck me where, you know, I just shifted my perception off of money onto value, into soul, into creativity, how something births itself. And, once something's birthed itself, you can't stick it back in your womb. You know, it's out there now. And who knows where
right.
that kind of energy is gonna grow from. And, but I don't see this is where I'm talking about the joy, not quote unquote the happiness or the sadness. Because see, once I got that, and of course, like Janine is saying, you know, and I realized that the ultimate goal for me, my ultimate intention is freedom. That has been my intention since like 1992, that I desire to be a sovereign being. If I've got to be here, well, let me be conscious and let me be the creator of my experience, because nobody knows better for me than me. So, and I get it. You know, when we first wake up to that truth, you kind of open your eyes and you're standing there waist deep in shit. You know, your life is totally a mess. But, you know, that's kind of what makes us go, okay, let me start going within. That it is the pain and the darkness that makes us go within. And then we start waking up and going, oh, and, you know, we start investigating some truths that weren't taught to us in school, and they weren't taught to us in church and temple. You know, truths that we're the creators of our experience. And there's not a wrathful God or a jealous God or, you know, a fearful God looking over our shoulders, waiting for us to screw up so he can zap us with lightning. I mean, that's just not true. You know, so now that I've got the creation part, okay, now I'm doing the integrating, because that's part of creation is I can't create a life for myself if I'm not whole myself. I'm fragmented. I'm fragmented,
yeah.
Because when dark things happen to me, there was not a belief system in place for me to handle that kind of electricity. Because this was something else that I got today. The pain that I have been experiencing lately is really interesting, because it's taking me to the depth where I am able to connect with the joy. See, now, and it's interesting because, like I said, for me, connecting with my good girl, that's really the side of me that, you know, I didn't grow up being a good girl. I grew up breaking rules and doing my own thing and, you know, was basically, you know, not a society child. You know, I was the one, you know,
that moms literally said, they're not coming back over your house. It's bad when they go over your house. friends of mine, their moms would say that in like third grade and fourth grade, because we were out like, you know, running the streets in the middle of the night, sneaking out, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. But so, okay, so I'm starting to understand that there is an equivalent here, that the pain gets me into the depth of my being. And then there's, you know, part of, for me, being a good person is the humility.
Yeah.
The humility to not have to strike back.
Yeah.
Because the bad girl, you know, really doesn't care about law, doesn't care about what's fair. And I'll be honest with you, the bad girl, and this is interesting, I'm getting this as we speak right now, the bad girl wants to blame.
Yeah, yeah.
And see, now you can't, and this is where we kind of got to modify ourselves, because this is what the integration is from the bad girl and the good girl coming into one. See, because the bad girl and the good girl separate, neither one of them works. Neither one of them. They're both distorted beliefs because they're separate. Because the good girl usually doesn't have a backbone, and the bad girl doesn't have any compassion. So you got to have compassion, backbone, strength, and courage.
And the humility thing I love.
And the humility, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Scott is my greatest teacher for humility, hands down. And that's why I said it's not necessarily, even my father too, it's not always necessary to get rid of people in our lives because, you know, and I get it, you know, Doris was saying, you know, we don't want to get rid of all of our family. I do get that. And everybody's kind of got to weigh it out what it is, because there are some family members and or friends that their drama is just too high. It's high maintenance. You know, I mean, high maintenance people right now, you know, I choose not to play with them. I just don't choose to play with them. The only high maintenance I'm going to deal with is my own. But I was really starting to understand, and I realize that I'm understanding this because it's actually starting to happen, is it's the integration of my bad girl and my good girl, because together the qualities that they both bring that they can't have separate, but that they both bring, is so powerful, and it's the power of true sovereignty. That's yes. And I guess Oracle Treehouse called it bullshit when I said God's not around here, so
I didn't hear that.
Oh well, whatever I was saying, that, you know, we're not learning it in our religions, and I don't know.
Oh,
she wrote
really?
BS and then she left. So
I wonder where I was for that.
Well, I don't know if you can feel it, but I'm using my hands to describe this.
No, but I didn't hear that. I didn't hear you say that, which is just so interesting, because I don't usually miss anything.
Yeah, that's true,
fun?
Huh? Well, you're blissed out tonight.
No, you know what? I was just thinking of myself and you and so many, you know, people that are close to me, and it's been really great to notice. And I guess my theme for tonight is there's this ability for quickness, there's ability for handling something, you know, kind of not letting it linger too long. Like when you were talking about the month-long, you know, experience babysitting for the mm-hmm. little baby that mm-hmm. you got so much out of, and that it was $900. And, you know, I'm just thinking that, once again, there's so much to learn about, and this woman with the renter, there's so much to learn about. You don't really have to hang in there. You can handle this. This is not about hanging in there for the sake of hanging in there. Or, you know, it's okay to, like, completely decide to change your mind, go another direction. You know, I mean, that whole unpredictable, malleable, spontaneous, it's not about you've got to stick to your guns and you've got to
hang in there. It's not about logic.
No,
it's not about reasoning.
It's about,
it's not.
No, it's not.
Trusting.
And it feels, trusting is it. And it's following something that is saying, do it, change it. It's okay. It's like, well, there's no, but did you put in enough time? No. It's like, just change it, fix it, you know, take care of it. And I just noticed that for myself and people around me that there just seems to be, like Penny Pierce said, I think because the subconscious is kind of all cleaned out, the basement's kind of up and in the first floor, that there's just this quickness, or there's this response time that's faster, or, you know, and I'm probably onto something, and you know, it'll show up later that time is different now, even. You know, like...
Time is different right now. That's
true. Right, like what we used
to
perceive as how long something would take, I find it to be happening faster. And I don't mean like city fast. You know, I just mean this other world, this organic timeline has its own time, and it will respond to you if you work with it. That's how that's what I do.
Right.
And that's
right on.
And by the way, that's like what Bill Wood was talking about, where you actually can, and here's your word, you can actually enjoy this time if you work with it. And people might even go, oh, no way, this is so stressful this time. And I'm going, it doesn't have to be. That's a belief system. That's a belief system that this has to
I get that, because the only thing I have to say because the stress, in the sense of, you know, there are painful moments. You know, it doesn't come.
You have to stay there for millennia.
That's
or, you
okay.
Know.
Exactly.
Right.
But you're gonna feel
it,
and you're gonna
feel
it to the tailbone of your being. I mean, it's
right.
Like you. There's no getting around. Because, like, remember when you were like, because I think you were saying this to me. You were like, you know, I just don't see it that way. Or you said something like, you know, this is not as bad as you think it is. And I was like, no, this is really bad. Because, see, I have to experience it as I experience it. Because for me, it was terrible not to. This is the first time in over 20 years, over 22 years ever that I didn't have a nanny gig pay me. I mean, that, you know, I had to feel the pain of my ego going, I can't believe I didn't get paid from a nanny gig.
Yeah.
Even though my soul was going, really? Are you that surprised when, you know, you went into this going to Janine, hey, I'll be your big sister. You know, like,
yeah.
But, you know, I have to give my ego the space that it needs to feel what, you know, it needs to feel that its knees have been chopped down, because it was.
I don't mean you don't feel stress. I just mean you don't have to linger there. I think the supporting time,
yeah.
The supporting time right now is helping if you move through things quicker. That's how I'm getting it. You know, and I think that.
And I agree with you. I do.
Yeah.
I just but there's no getting around it. The quickest way through something is to sit there and go, like you always say, go deeper at this point.
Handle
really
it.
Go. Yeah, well, feel it.
Right,
go
right.
Let it, because for me, I was, you know, there was a couple of nights I was all encompassed with this, but that's all that it was, because the minute I was all encompassed, I mean, I literally got, okay, I can't think my way out of this, because my thoughts were to go over there and rob her.
Right.
That was the thought. So, and it was clear, I'm not going to do that. So then if I can't think, that's the thought. That was my answer. So then what do I do? Okay, well, first of all, feel it. You know, stop. Because, see, when we're blaming somebody, we're really not feeling the anger. We're feeling... The anger is the response to, you know, to be honest, the humility that we didn't get paid, and that I didn't get paid.
Yeah.
That was the anger.
That's a really good point when you're blaming somebody.
When I was blaming her, I couldn't feel it to the max.
Right. Blame blocks the ability to really process and go into it and move through it and come out, you know?
Yes.
But that's a really good point. No, that's a really good point.
And when you're feeling it, it's going to feel like, you know, the rest of your life is going to suck to no end. it's not pretty, and it doesn't feel good.
It completely overtakes you, and it has you.
It does.
And you know, with maybe, quote, good reason, because this is your opportunity to not.
Because it is me. The good reason is it's me.
Yeah.
This is the integration.
I love that part about the blame, because that really does block the whole point of why we go into these places. And, you know, and the minute it probably is a great red flag to when you recognize, you know, like next time if this comes up for me, I'm going to go, wow. When you go into a place of blame, that just means you're blocking getting what this is for you.
The feeling, and it's the feeling that the feeling of humiliation, the feeling of whatever it is that, you know, clearly it doesn't feel good to feel it, but it's a part of us. The trigger, we can really start thanking our triggers, because it's a part of us. That was pushed out of our field, so to speak, if that's even possible, but on some level it must be, that now wants to come home. Because once the feeling, once it's back integrated into us, and I mean anchored in our cells, in our energetic fields, oh my God, the wisdom is, I mean, I can say her name, Kelly, I my stomach doesn't tighten up. I mean, I wish them the best. There might even become a day where I'll call her up and say, how you doing? You know, maybe we can talk and become friends. I mean, it shifted everything. It shifted everything. And, of course, the money is still coming in as I knew it would. I have never had problems making money. And here's the interesting thing, though. This is another awareness that I got within this past couple of weeks. Now, I always had it that I could make money being the bad girl, you know, whether it's selling drugs, working under the table, whatever it is. That's my bad girl way. I can make money. And I remember saying, but boy, being a good girl, I don't know how to make money being a good girl. You know, legitimate work and getting, like, I couldn't get paid for energy work. I couldn't get paid for, like, entrepreneurial stuff. Even though I was definitely, the nanny work was definitely like, I was a good girl, so to speak. You know, I mean, I'm a great nanny, so. You know, I guess I always had that. So, but I felt like spiritually speaking, I couldn't do my quote-unquote spiritual work. I couldn't do therapies or energy work. I couldn't get paid. It was just this weird thing where people would, they'd either promise me money and not pay me, or they'd go, listen, let's barter.
Yeah.
It just never generated. And I'm starting to realize because see, my strength is, you know, to get paid really is in the bad girl. You know, because the bad girl expects to get paid. The good girl is like, please, please, do you like me? Do you like me?
Yeah.
Please, please pay me. And it's like, well, no wonder I wasn't getting paid. I was, to be quite honest, the good girl is very weak.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
my God. The one you're describing, you know, hasn't dropped into standing behind herself and you know, saying what's so and knowing your own value. And I mean, then the girl,
literally
then
it's
the
coming
bad
now.
Girl and the good girl merge, and there's just you know, and
right
you know what you stand for, you know what your value is, and you know, and you're able to say, this is what I do and this is what I get for it, you know. And
and
I mean, I can relate to that, because it is, this is a, you know, the doing the healing work or the therapy work, it is an area where people, you know, you could almost go into that, well, that doesn't deserve, you know, such a strong sense of, this is what it's worth, and this is what the value is, and this is what I do. And I think that's it's a good place for me to look at too. You know, this is what I do. And I really do think that that's about knowing your own personal value and what you have to offer people, you know. And that goes across the board. And I think that, I mean, that's a really powerful, integration, you know?
It is a power. Well, because it's actually coming to the point, two people have said to me recently, maybe it's time not to, maybe nannying is no longer the main sustenance of your finances.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that a change is coming. And I'm going, wow, maybe, because as I integrate the good girl, bad girl, perhaps it's time to be doing full-time energy work, or, you know, it's just something that I'm looking into, you know, because
and I love
it's showing up.
I love when you talk about, because now I use it, so it's so much fun, when you said, yeah, I'm over the fence, you know, and basically what that means to me is I'm in a new place, I'm over the fence, I don't really know exactly where it is, but, I mean, it's exactly where you need to be, and see, to me, that has such potential, and who knows what that will bring, you know, and, you know, I don't know why, but all your words, somehow they keep coming back to, like, this is all the groundwork for creativity and originality. And, you know, I was looking at what this Ken Robinson said, because I loved it, and it said, if you're not prepared to be wrong and make mistakes, you'll never come up with anything original. And to me, creativity and originality, and that's original is another word for authenticity or authentic.
Exactly.
And all that stuff comes out of these places that you kind of can't describe. And, you know, they don't have formulas and how to get their guidebooks, you know?
Right.
I mean, this is experimental and, you know.
Totally.
And that's why, you know, as we move along and discover the process and, you know, what you noticed about your process. I mean, these are such helpful things, like me just getting tonight the thing about blame. That was so clear to me that when you, me, move into a place of blame, we're actually blocking what we, you know, what we're really need
the
to
feeling.
Get out of it.
Well,
right.
And it's because how many people say to us, you know, I've heard Jules say this a few times when she's talking, you know, anger is really just a mask for fear. And it's like, oh, son of a gun. Because, see, that all the masks, quote unquote, that we wear are so we don't feel that pain that the situation is created. And at this point, with the frequency of the planet, you know, literally releasing all our subconscious, and, you know, it's so funny. Where do you think the releasing is coming from, is returning to? If something's getting released, where is it going? It's coming back to self, back to origin.
Right,
That's why it doesn't make sense right now to just play, you know, the good girl role. Because look at the planet. The planet has the capacity right now, you know, not the capacity. That's not the word I want. It's set up, you know, it seems like the nature of life itself, what some people might call God. I don't use the term God anymore. Life itself. Life is saying, because we're coming back into balance. Mm. You know, I was listening to George today. I haven't listened to George in a while, and God bless that boy. He's got some nuggets. One of the things he said that really struck me today was, you know, when I talk about the ascension, it's like, I'm going to the fifth dimension, I'm going to the fifth dimension. And George goes today, the fifth dimension is just the balance point.
Mm.
Then from there, everything will collapse, you know, from a white hole, black hole kind of point of view into a into zero point, you know. It'll collapse into a single, what do they call that, a point of...
singularity.
Singularity, and then out the other end will be the new creators. See, because the truth is we have to be able to handle the compression, because the compression is kind of like what babies go through when they're going through the birth canal. You got to be able to handle that kind of compression. And what is the preparation for that compression is being able to be triggered and to feel and integrate the shadow sides of self. That
is so great.
The preparation.
You know another word for that? To be able to handle the pressure.
Exactly. Well, because, right, isn't that what giving, that's what, see, because remember, it's not just us giving birth, we are also that which is being birthed. You know,
right,
we're both
yeah.
the chicken and
no,
the egg.
But that makes so much sense as a real experience, because when you, you know, to be activated, to be something come up to deal with it, rather than you know, I always say this is the opportunity where you handle the creative tension, which is another word for pressure, which is another
yes.
word for, because if
anxiety,
stay,
anything,
just
stress,
stay in it.
Oh.
Just stay in it.
Yes.
Yeah, because it will, because that's so funny, because that's where the pressure is and the compression, and that's where the transformation occurs, or
yes.
you know, or that you come through
the other
side.
It does it now, and just because I'm getting this clarity as we speak, I got to share it. Okay, so the masks, whether it be the anger, the ego, whatever you want to call it, that's the mind control, quote unquote.
Or gatekeeper.
The mind control is the blocking. See, because, you know,
yeah.
that which doesn't want us to ascend, what, you know, the agenda. It does it through the mind control. And it's so funny because anger is a mental thing. That, you know, you feel it physically. I shouldn't say that. I don't think anger is totally a mental thing. But I think it's been manipulated in the belief world. Clearly, you know, light workers not being able to get angry, that is just, that's bullshit. You know, sorry. So I guess, I'm just playing with this. So I guess it's not a mental thing. But one of the thing I got, it can be a mental thing, I should say. I think anger can be, it can clearly be manipulated if you're afraid to get angry. If you're afraid to express your anger, you're being manipulated by the lack of anger in your life, just as much as if you stay in rage and you don't come out of rage and, you know, you're just creating havoc for everything around you, that's also a manipulation of not coming out of it. You know, anger is almost like you got to have finesse to use the anger for self, you know, and not against anyone. Because the anger, it really was, you know, I was pissed off at myself for, you know,
yeah.
basically going, why didn't you see it? And then as soon as I integrated, it's like I didn't have to be pissed anymore because I did see she wasn't going to pay me. But once the integration happened, it was like, I don't need to get paid. The payment was you just played for 30 days, so to speak, with baby energy and mommy energy. You know, shucks, you know, you've got a playpen, you've got a car seat. How do I know that's not going to manifest itself as a bouncing little baby boy in my life? I
yeah.
don't.
Yeah.
You know, and so let's say, I'll ride that train, or whatever it is, whether it's
right.
you know, whatever. It just was like, it shifted everything, and it was really, you know, this whole experience was very, very powerful. And, you know, I'm cracking up kind of inside because, you know, if this new energy wave that's coming in May 10th, you know, that these people are talking about, it's like, you know, I'm just getting all together, you know, so I can get my ass kicked again on next Thursday. Hang on, everybody. This ride ain't over yet. We still got a few dips and hills to go through.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's pretty fantastic. And I'm glad, Doris, I'm so glad that you're feeling this. I can't tell you how much it means to me. You know, this information is not for everybody. Take what resonates with you, leave the rest. You know, it's just like Janine was saying, there's a thousand ways, you know, to get to the fifth dimension, ascension, whatever you want to call it. But this is one of them. I know this is one of them because it's working for me. So, I can speak for myself and say, you know, the wisdom that comes from after you sit with the painful stuff is just so profound. And the thing is, see, for me, again, this is where I'm very selfish. This is always about me, always. And I say this because, see, when I get the wisdom by sitting with my own pain,
Yeah. No one can take that from me. Nobody can say, you don't have that wisdom. And you know, I'm realizing that I'm leaving the world of needing knowledge because it's not my brain running this show. And I'm learning more and more and more and more and more. It's not thinking, not even remotely close, is it thinking that are where my solutions are. It's in feeling, it's in trusting, it's in integrating everything. And every step that I go and the clarity comes to me, it's like, you know, for a couple of weeks my confidence was definitely shaken. I mean, oh my God, you know, I didn't get paid for a nanny gig. That just blew my mind. And yet the confidence that I have now that, you know, the truth is, okay, May 10th is going to bring us, you know, a tsunami of spiritual energy. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm out there on the beach, you know, with my hands over my head. Bring it on! I'm ready.
You know, once again, you know, it's all in the eyes of the interpreter because, you know, and what
Absolutely.
Is real for that what is real for that person, but you know, if someone's natural response is really isn't that great, it's like, you know, and they mean that, then that's because today when you told me that, I was like, wow, really? And I was excited about it, like, you know, I can't wait. And you know, I just think that I felt told you that I felt supported by the universe, and I guess that means I feel supported by myself. You know?
That's exactly right. Because the two are interchangeable. You are the universe. And see, and that's how you know, you're getting, you know, I loved when you said that, you know, I mean, you've explored infinity, and I get that there's clearly more to explore.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, but you explored infinity, and you explored, what was it? I know what you said this afternoon, but there was something else that you were exploring, too, that you've recently been through. When I went through freedom, you went through what?
What was that? How quickly we were. Forget.
Yes, well, I'll tell you. You know, it's now just
a
knowing.
Wait,
we know
what
it.
Was that?
I know because I know you said black holes today, and I was like, yeah, right on, sister. Just keep exploring
because you're exploring it.
Maybe from a macro, but the truth is it's also the micro exploring self. I mean, you're
right,
just exploring aspects of self.
Yeah, I felt very much the need, and, you know, you were completely honoring it, as, and that was great, that, like, the little ants that we are, but that I needed, remember, I really felt this need for quiet and space on Saturday, and, and there was something I was exploring, not really, just giving myself that, and it was, whatever it was, it was perfect, because I came out of something, and it wasn't anguish or anything, but I'm definitely, I said to you, I'm on the other side of the fence, and I don't know what it is, but
yeah,
I was going through something, but it wasn't angst, and it wasn't anguish, but it was something, and it felt neutral. It didn't feel like, you know, oh, I'm uncomfortable. It was just something I was sensing.
Okay, wait, Jeanine, do me a favor. There's chat room chatter. Doris and Simon said that you have an echo.
Okay.
I don't hear it, so can you just call right back in? I don't know what.
Yep.
Okay, thanks, babe. Okay. But don't forget what you were just talking about, and you were talking about Saturday and the space you were in, because I want you to continue that. Okay. Okay, hopefully the echo will be gone, and Jeanine will come back. Yeah, well, right on, everybody. See, this is why, thank God, I have a partner now. Because la-di-da-di-da-di-da. Oh, Doris, you rebooted too. Good job. All right, right now, there she is.
Hi.
Hey. Okay.
Oh, I hear
you
it.
You guys let me know. You hear it?
Yep. I hear it.
Wait, do you guys hear it? Jeanine, talk for a sec.
How you doing, everybody?
Does she have an echo? Does she have a little friend with her? Our little infinite one. Stop bringing infinite with you when you come to the show.
Well, you know, it's so funny. In my book, there's an Echo Valley.
Oh, nice.
But I think I do have it because I can hear my voice.
Oh, well, all right. No, if you can hear it, all right. I don't hear it. She's saying yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, you want to try a different phone?
Yeah. I'll call right back.
Oh, okay. All right, you guys talk to me in the chat room then. She's calling back, so. You got anybody want to call in? No, she'll call right back. She'll call right back. We're kind of on a roll today. Not that I don't want to hear from you guys, but, you know, after last week's show, I was so grateful that I was I had more clarity. I don't know how many of you guys heard last week's show, but oh my God, you know, Goldie was like a wind up doll, and I just kept walking into the etheric walls of my own self. I didn't know how to do the show, and here, you know, I'll tell you though, here's the amazing thing. We last week's show and the week before, we had close to 140 archive listenings, which is pretty high for me and Janine. So, as she was saying earlier, I guess people needed to hear the people needed to hear, you know, what it sounds like to be in that kind of wind up the doll and walk into walls kind of space, which you know, I'm happy to be the poster child for all of us. Dysfunctions and all. Yay! So, everybody having a good time tonight? I love you guys. Yay, Janine's back. I love her, too.
And I don't hear
okay?
the echo.
Okay?
Oh, I do.
You do?
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Another phone?
Wow.
Yeah.
I
have one more phone I can try, but...
See, I'm not. You guys still hearing it? Are you hearing it profoundly? Like, in other words, you speak and then you hear the exact same thing said twice.
Yeah.
No, you got to hang. All right.
That is so weird. I'm gonna call from
my
house.
All right, Punky, we got a show to do. Okay.
Wait,
okay. But yeah. We got a show. I don't want to. I want to keep going. We were on a roll. I want to talk about your Saturday experience.
I already forget what Saturday.
Oh, do you have your computer on? Is it your computer?
I don't think so. This has never happened before.
She means the sound. Remember when I told you if you had...
Did you have
that episode page open?
Yeah, but what do you mean? What do you mean?
Do you have the episode page? Remember when I told you to check the pictures? Is that page still open?
Let me see.
Because there's sound coming from that page.
Okay, that's off. Okay, that's
is that better?
No.
I don't know.
Sorry.
No, don't, babe. We love you. Listen, techno problems happen.
Thank you, Simon.
Yeah, your wisdom echoes infinity. It does, doesn't it? Stop bringing your infinity, though. We need the microcosm.
I don't know. This might be. I think this is what happens when you're in a black hole. But let me call back.
Oh. All right, listen. You better be done with this black hole stuff by next week, young lady.
I'm calling you right back.
All right. Cool. Bye. Well, and of course, you know, if we still have things to say, what I would recommend is, we'll go past the 10 o'clock mark, and anybody who's on the calling line can hear it live with us. If not, if you just stay in the chat room, once we get off the air, then if you wanted to listen to the rest of the show at that point, because Janine had a profound experience on Saturday. I definitely want her to share. And it's so funny because we're not even remembering what it was she was focusing on Saturday. Okay?
Well, hi. I'm here and I'm on a landline. I think that's good.
Wow, you sound very different. Yeah. Okay, how's that, everybody? Is she speaking through her computer and the phone? No, just the phone. I just had her, Doris, I had her pull up the episode page, so it might have been.
Okay, I'm closing.
Oh, I see, you closed out. Okay, yeah, okay.
I'm going to close out and just see if that helps.
Yeah, your audio sounds different.
I don't know.
So, well, do you hear the echo personally?
Very, a little bit.
And that's
can you,
three
can
phones.
You, okay. Maybe I should hang up and try and call again. I don't ever hear it. All right, you sound better. You sound better. Okay, so
okay.
I want you to share your Saturday. You know, you got to share that energy with everybody because, listen, everybody who wants to echo in their lives, raise their hand.
Well,
this is where Janine takes us.
I just think that what's happening lately, and I'm sure it's being on the show and then processing with you and being aware of your processes. And then, you know, I had something. I woke up Monday. Was it Monday night I went to sleep? I had no idea that I would wake up Tuesday and have such the strongest urge to handle a very small detail, but a very important detail for my book. And it was like, it was almost like your process, but different because I was completely taken by it and I knew I had to handle it, but not in an angst way. It was just important. And so I handled this detail about my book, upcoming book, and the category of reader that would be reading it. And this is a really important detail for people who are putting their books out there in the world as to who the reader is, you know. And, you know, you work on a book for 4.5 years, going on 5 in June, and, you know, if you don't say who the book's for, all that work could be misdirected and go to the wrong audience, okay? So this was just so important, and I could feel it physically. And it surprised me how much a part of me or my body knew more than even my thinking brain knew. Because I just woke up with this, you have to handle this. And I did. So that was really cool. But then what I'm noticing is that Saturday I woke up and I had the same feeling in that I just felt like there was something I was processing and I was on the other side of the fence, so to speak, and I needed a lot of space and quiet time. And you know, we spoke later, did we? Yeah, I emailed you and let you know. But there was an awareness of the fact that there was something I needed to handle, which was different than my book thing, but that I needed quiet and I needed space. And I what was cool was I honored that with a lot of ease. I immediately just emailed you and said, "Hey Goldie, I'm feeling this," and you go, "Great." You know, I honored that. But there was something. Imagine if I hadn't like really paid attention to that with such ease and accuracy, that, you know, the whole day could have been different, and I could be...
Yeah, don't imagine that. Don't imagine that.
No, but my point is that there's what I've noticed for myself, and I think you're noticing it too, that there's an awareness that comes up, and you handle it, and you get better at it, or you get a better sense of... And this is the thing, what I'm talking about is it doesn't always have to be so angst-ridden. Once you notice something, it's like, oh, there it is. Okay, let me see what this is. Let me handle it. And Saturday was just about giving myself quiet and space. And, you know, it's not like I could really explain why, but I needed that. And it was great because whatever I needed, I got, and I'm in this different place today, and it's it just feels very connected and very supported and trusting. And and then this is so beautiful because you know how I talk about everything that the spontaneous and the unexpected is the magic,
mm-hmm.
and it comes out of nowhere. And, you know, maybe that's when you're over the fence, that's how it all kind of feels and works. But, you know, today my web designer called me and said, "I really love what you do, and I want to help you, and I want to assist you and get your work out there in it because I support your work and I love your work." And I was floored. I was like, "There it is again. There's this spontaneous, unexpected," and you know, I really think that when you allow your process to be this, you know, you're that. you allow it to be so that you really react to it quickly, that the gifts come or whatever you need comes, and it's like, oh my God, you know. So today was an amazing day for that, where somewhere out of nowhere, you know, I got this gift of someone wanting to help me, and this person's really talented and special, and you know, it was a great day. And then I call you, we're on the phone in the woods, and I'm seeing turtles and quails and hawks and
oh my.
yeah. So Saturday is a mystery, but whatever it was amazing. You know, and it was subtle and it was quiet. And that's really cool.
Well, and it was deep. It was deep. You were in a deeply profound space. You know,
I was.
Yeah. Because, you know, part of me was like, let's do a show. You know, and Janine was like, no, it doesn't work that way. We're going to stay sacred here. It's like, okay. We'll share it on Monday. you know, because sometimes it works out that we can do that. And, you know, but often, you know, it's, you don't want to speak when you're, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the deeply profound. The deeply profound is really just energetics. Not even words. It's beyond the words.
Yeah, and it's funny because that's right. It's beyond the words, and yet there was a voice in me that was saying, "This is important. Honor this." And yeah, there's so many times where I'm like, "Yeah, let's do a show." But that's what I'm saying.
No, I really did get. I could feel you going, Goldie. This has nothing to do with sweeps. Sweeps months, you know, it was like literally Janine is in a sacred space, you know, just honored.
Oh,
and I could
know
feel
what
it
was. Do you, now
okay.
I'm just sacred space just was the tip off. We were talking about sanctuary.
Oh, and that was it, yes.
And we were talking about self with the capital S, and that the self has a place of sanctuary, and that's where everything comes from. And
yeah.
I swear, it was like I spoke those words to you, and the next thing you know, I was deep inside my sanctuary and myself. And
yeah.
It was like, and I felt it, and it was, you know, yeah. So you felt it too, but when you said
I did.
Space,
well, I was. Well, we were. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on between me and Janine. Boy, we just say the words, and bam, you know, it's in our lives. Which is, you know, another reason why, like, I highly recommend, you know, and it doesn't have to be on the air, but to find somebody you can trust to speak about your stuff. I think it's very helpful to getting clarity. And I know there's a lot of people that aren't talkers. Well, I mean, like, shucks, me and Simon, we've never spoken yet. I mean, we type our stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm sure, Simon, you know, you have other people that you speak to, but it even helps to just, you know, to have somebody to converse with even through the written word. But it's just good to have, you know, I think it's therapeutic to have somebody that, you know, you trust, it's a safe space. And most importantly, what I mean, and this took me 47 years to find, somebody that really understands your process. So, you know, not that, you know, you're telling them you're going through a bad thing and they're telling you, oh, you're such a failure. You know, it's like, who needs that in their lives? You know, you really want to be able to speak to somebody that understands the sovereignty of it all, understands understands the process because they're going through it themselves. And some, you know, it's not that you have to both be going through something, you know, inherently negative, you know, because none of this is actually negative.
No, that's the point. That's right.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting, too, is, you know, and once again, you know, it's because I find this fun. And I love the unfolding and the aliveness of, because we're like processing, and I know that we're getting things as we speak, which is, to me, fun. And so I'm just finding that you spoke about anger and you spoke about being, you know, blaming, and then we speak about, and then you start to notice that you can almost identify when we have our own gatekeepers up. You know, it's like, because that we, you know, that whole compression thing or that pressure thing, or just hang in the process, go through it, and it's like, okay, what gatekeeper's up that's not letting you go through of your own, you know? And
yeah, what's the defense? It's a defense.
Yeah, what is it? And,
defense,
you know,
mechanisms are gatekeepers. Right on, right on.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, remember we used the example of like the gargoyles that sit outside the churches? And
yeah, the sanctuary, right, right.
Right. And, yeah, and it's like, who's keeping you from your own sanctuary? But of your own making. It's like, what part of you, you know, is holding you back from moving into that place? Because that's where it all comes from. It's like the fountain, you know? And,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
See, and
you know,
I think talking about it helps. Oh, I don't hear it.
But I do.
Nobody wrote anything. Oh, you do?
That's all right.
Come.
There's two of me right now.
You're integrating. Join us next week when Janine integrates into one voice.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that was funny. I was almost as funny as that unknown caller guy when you said last week, maybe it's the guy with the $900 going.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was definitely you took me out of a dark space at the time. I totally appreciated that. So
I have a knack for humor when under pressure.
Yeah, no, which is, I'm telling you, that's another beautiful thing. Well, you know, humor, laughing and crying really produce the same result. And I'll tell you personally, both of them are such extraordinary. The body needs to do both, but
that's,
I get
true.
It. You know, anger. I have trouble laughing. I mean, Janine just happens to be her wit is so on time that, you know, she throws it in you know, really dark moments, and it just breaks the ice with the laughter. But crying will do the same thing, and it's truly easy to cry when we're pissed and or scared. So you know, I highly recommend the body, allowing the body, you know, to do as much of that as necessary. I mean, because that was another, that was one of my gatekeepers, is that I was afraid to cry in front of people. You know, of course, because that's the bad girl. The bad girl always wants to be strong. You know, where the good girl clearly gets, you know, the benefits of a good cry, clearly.
Yeah. Well, I would say then you're becoming much more balanced because you share good crying with me, and it's very, very beautiful.
I do.
It's very beautiful.
Right on. No, thank you. Thank you. Scott, too, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you know, it's part of the processing, and because by golly, people, we're in May, and it's only going to get more intense from here.
You know, it's so funny because that song that you played 40 times keeps coming up for me, where that you almost in your, you were, to me that was a prophecy or something, that song for you, because ever since that, a lot has happened since that song that you played with the
true, huh?
Yeah.
A lot is dying and go, well, I, you know, I'm dealing with the dying of the ego.
Yeah, but it was a very touching song, and I remember listening to it when you played it, and it moved me to another place, and then I realized, I said, she played this 40 times. Oh, you know, there was something it was almost like you were churning up the water, or you were mucking up the bottom or something, you know, because...
Yeah. Which is, by the way, which is what's happening when the frequency goes above subconscious. You know, the bottom's really, it's not like you have to dive in 20 feet to get to the bottom. You know, the bottom's right there. You know, in other words, like you said, the basement's now in our living room. You know, so, you know, stirring it up is, you know, because, I mean, but I would say stirring it up helps to know what's gonna come at you first, because I really do believe our soul knows we steady as she goes. You can't handle only so much. But one other thing I do want to say, which I found interesting, is and I posted this a week or so ago, that you know, when I was talking with my friend yesterday, the one who you know, brought in the gentleman to her house, she was like, I don't know how to stop the looping. You know, I have thoughts running through my mind, and I can't turn it off. And, you know, I was like, you know, that is also another gatekeeper.
Yes.
When we're looping our thoughts, and God knows we all do this, it is an indicator that we're not feeling something. Because in order to not feel, the mind goes into almost like hyperdrive and just starts on blah, 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 blah. And it's like, so, you know, and I was like, and I said to her, yes, I was like, so feel your fear, feel it. And I was like, because you'll find that when you feel in your fear, oh, the mind shuts down immediately. I mean, it just doesn't loop anymore. And God, that's another pretty, you know, that's a big one as well, because, you know, and I get it, because people want the looping to stop with something positive. And,
yeah, I used to call that
to
cycling.
Be honest, right, exactly.
For myself.
The painful stuff really is a positive because it does stop the looping, and at least you're on your way out. You know, in other words, because see, once the pain's integrated, you're done with it. You don't have to continue to integrate the same thing. You might have to integrate another piece, but once it's integrated, you're done. And that's why it's also important not to attach a story. Like what I was telling her on the phone, I go, the stuff that's coming back to you now, I go, it's going to feel the same way it felt probably when you created it, you know, on some level, like when you were a kid.
Yep.
I said, but it's not the same thing. So don't put the story around it that, oh, you're being this way again, and this is happening to you all over again. No, 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 no. When we're integrating, we are the mature being of ourselves, going, I can now handle what I couldn't handle as a child, because as a child I felt powerless. But in my power as an adult, and not just adult, a mature spiritual being, because you can be 12 and be a mature spiritual being, so this has nothing to do with quote-unquote biological age. It's the maturity that, so you're going to feel what you felt, and it's going to remind you exactly how you felt when you were a child, but that's because it's coming home. It's coming back. And when it comes back, it brings this wisdom with it. It's inherent in the pain is the wisdom of what, when we sent it out there, remember, at all of creation, you can't destroy anything. So our pain kind of went out and had its own timelines, experiences. It still continued to live on, even though it was in our subconscious. So when you bring it back, which is what the feeling and the allowing yourself to feel it does, you also get back the literally the wisdom of the experience that you don't, it's almost like you'll remember things even though you don't remember living it through the wisdom itself, because that there is wisdom, you know, but it was pushed out of you. It gave the appearance of being separate. So it's like it learned what it learned, and now it's coming home to show you. But first, it's got to show up as authentically who it is. It is authentically the pain. But just because it's painful doesn't mean it didn't have the capacity to expand and grow and learn. Just like the good feelings in us have the ability to expand and grow and learn. Well, so do the dark spots. Because remember, they're side by side. You know, remember the belief that the good is, because see that's. I start to get that with the whole religion. Religions have us so programmed that only the good go to heaven. And that is a downright lie. Because, first of all, the good and or the bad are the same things. They're just polar opposites. So you don't get to heaven by being just good, because the truth is that means you're lying about your bad. Because nobody's just good. We have bad in us. So if you're just good, that means you're suppressing the bad. And if you're suppressing the bad, you don't go to heaven. And if you're all bad and you're suppressing the good, you don't go to heaven. You go to heaven, which is ultimately the integration of the two, which is, and there's no going anywhere. Heaven becomes, it's inside of you. Yeah. Heaven becomes the confident creator
You know it's your world. You're confident. You're not afraid. You're just soaking up what's the next creative expression that you're going to share. You know, you're and sovereignty says that all you do is share. Everything that you're fed is fed from a divine space. So there's no codependency. There's no neediness. There's no, you know, I got to be good to you or you're going to kick me out. Kick my ass out. I don't give a shit. Kick me out. I'll kick you out. We'll all kick each other out, and then we'll go out in the back and light a bonfire and have a good old party. It's freedom. It's freedom. You know, and again, nobody's taught us that that's what's in the pain. But I'll tell you, speak to anybody who's integrated, and if you speak to them, you know, ask them, have you integrated some of your shadow work? And I promise you, they'll probably all say yes. You can feel it. You can feel somebody who comes across who has done the integration work. You can feel.
Well, that's where all the power is, you know, is in the shadow, or, you know, because it's the undiscovered, and it's where the power's, you know, being held by our, you know,
yes,
by ourselves, literally.
Right.
But
right, right.
But the beauty is when you really understand that, you just have breakthrough after breakthrough as you bring
exactly
that stuff up. Yeah. And
exactly.
And you know, you were describing to me once again, and this comes up pretty much in every show, but the obedient parental good versus bad, heaven versus hell, that's all that control artificial obedient timeline thing that really is so, it's such a false construct, you know, and it, once again, it comes back to the whole authentic, trust, organic timeline. And it's working for, you know, right now that's working for us to really, I feel, move us along quicker. That's how I feel. It's just, it's right there if you want it to be, supporting our breaking through. You know, bringing in the pressure,
right,
handling the pressure, not running away from
why?
It.
Why? Because so you know you can. Because boy, you want to know you're strong. I mean, I would imagine, doesn't everybody want to know they're strong and their strength?
Yeah.
I can't. You know, I don't think. You know, even though remember I was telling you this the other day. I was noticing some girls. Scott lives across the street from a. We live down the road from a high school and across the street from an elementary school. And at his corner, he's got a little deli where they got some chairs outside. And I saw some, I think they were middle school kids, which, of course, is the one school I didn't mention. But I don't know. They were probably high school then, maybe young high school kids. And I saw two girls, and it was really interesting. They were both aesthetically very pretty girls. And I was at the red light, and I was watching them, and there were some boys coming down the sidewalk towards them. And I could feel their energy was very much, in their beauty, they were really radiating, you know, how fragile they were and how delicate they were. You know, and I was like, you know, why is it that the tomboys, you know, who... You know, most of them turned out to either be, you know, gay or bisexual. You know, like, why is it that, you know, we don't promote our girls to... Because, see, ultimately that timidness really manifests in the thought process as being not confident until the boy tells her, oh, you're so pretty. Oh, you're so this. You know, they... It's like they're waiting instead of standing there radiating, you know, I am so good. Let's see if you're worthy to be with me. You know, and I say that and I go, it's like, I get that that's cocky, but because I could just, I was watching these girls just rate, and it's like, it comes from, and listen, I am not the aesthetically beautiful girl. I am the average looking tomboy. And I did get the boys that I got through being a tough little girl and confidence, because the doors weren't opening for me through just my looks. So it was like, well, figure out a way to get the doors to start opening, Goldie. And for me, it was, you know, me kind of having
a leadership quality. The boys that I normally attract like the leadership in me. Of course, besides Scott. Scott, I don't think is so attracted to. Well, I shouldn't say that, but I don't play that dynamic out with him. I play the dynamic out of humility, which is, of course, the good girl quality. Yeah, it was just so interesting to watch the girls. And, you know, like I said, you know, you see it on TV all the time where the girl is the submissive, you know, the pretty girl is always the one, you know, laying submissive to the man. And, you know, you just know it. You know, it's in our culture. And, you know, but that doesn't mean, just because it's in our culture doesn't mean it has to be in us anymore. Because that's kind of what this great clearing time is all about and this great time of truth. It's, you know, it's about, you know, finding, because Doris, you were saying that when I was saying it earlier that the good girl fits you. So I definitely invite you to find, you know, find the mischievous girl. Because I get it. When I use words like deviant and bad girl, these are strong labels. And how about mischievous? Because, see, ultimately, the good girl would never break the rules. And I'm telling you, it's not just about breaking the rules, but there's a level of confidence. You know, what I was telling my friend this on the phone the other day. You know, when I was doing bad girl things, selling drugs and all that, I knew I wasn't going to get caught. I knew I wasn't going to get caught, partially because the cops knew what I was doing and chose not to arrest me. You know, I had friends on the force. There were some cops I was selling drugs to. You know,
I like friends on the force. That sounds good.
Friends on the force. Well, and, you know, and, like, that doesn't happen because that was a nurtured relationship. Because cops just don't befriend drug dealers unless they want them to be snitch and things of that nature, which I have never done. There was just, like, this weird mutual respect thing going on. And I think two of the cops, that they actually had crushes on me. So, all right, that didn't hurt. But nonetheless, it's, you know, there's a dance you do in life. And I tell people, if you're going to be a criminal, be a good one. Be a smart one. Don't be a, you know, you watch on TV all the time those stupid criminals. Like, oh, my God, if you're going to be stupid, why don't you just hand the cup outside and say, please put, you know, a dime in my cup? You just don't want to be a stupid criminal. But I also get that you don't want to be a weak good girl. That is a paradigm that will not serve in the energy that's coming down the pike. The energy coming down the pike is just as much important for me to integrate my good girl as it is for all the good girls to integrate their bad girls.
It really is
important. Go ahead, babe.
I think, too, what keeps coming up for me is the good girl thing that you're talking about. My interpretation of that is that there's healthy boundary setting that sometimes you know, girls don't learn. And as we grow up and become women, we don't, and that would sound right for the friend that you were talking to, where really boundary setting is a right, and it's necessary.
That's a bad girl. Right.
And talking
about...
See, but
a bad girl knows how to do that, right?
But
also, she doesn't give a shit.
here's the thing, too, that when I work with people, a lot of times, and even people that most, you know, are in relationship, I find that one of the things that's not being given enough attention to is your personal relationship with yourself. And that's where that word sanctuary came up. Because when you are strong in yourself and in your sanctuary, you don't have boundary issues. You don't have, like, let me just lay down and you can walk all over me issues. You honor the relationship with yourself. So I always bring people back to working with them. Like, you have to really respect yourself and have a relationship with yourself. And I think that some people don't even, that's something that someone hasn't even considered. And it's like, oh, yeah. And it all starts from that place. And it's so funny because when we spoke about that last week, which was just, it seems like a long time ago, but it was just like Thursday and Friday,
that was 14 integrations ago.
It was right, because they're happening so quickly. But the relationship with self and that internal sanctuary, I think it's just not the key to everything, but I almost want to say it is, because
well then say it.
Yeah, well
it is.
You know, it's,
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is,
yeah,
because
confidence.
because you won't have issues around healthy boundaries. What do you feel? What do you need to do? What actions do you need to take? You don't need like someone else's guidebook. You know, like, well, what's the right thing to do? No. What do you feel you need? You know, and I think that's a game changer. I just do. And
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Well, and I mean, the whole, see, this kind of all, it's all, you know.
What?
Never mind. What? No. I'm having a conversation with Dennis in the chat room, and I'm lost. My bad.
But
you, what the heck? What are we talking about?
Well, no, but I'll tell you something that I like. You know, like when I went to the post office and I was mailing something and I heard the lady say, yeah, this new timeline has really affected all of us. And she was just talking about the people working in the post office. And I was like, oh, that's what I came to hear, you know. And then when you said, you were telling your story and about criminals and all that, and you said, yeah, and I had friends in the force. And I was like, I know she does. Friends in the force. But it was like another one of those moments where I heard something differently than what, you know, you said.
I saw
something
that you typed it. No, it's a great line. It's a great, I didn't realize it. I was just saying it. The way you made it was a great line. Listen, though, I want to share something that Robert Young says, and it's very interesting because, you know, this really is also, you know, we are dimensionally becoming multidimensional beings. Now, one of our dimensions, the fourth dimension, is time. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that I thought was very interesting that Robert Young said. Robert Young said the reason why people are taking antidepressants and feeling better, because antidepressants are actually inserting time into their body. It is literally slowing things down. Because, see, what you're talking about with the time that you can process very quickly, people in the resistance of it, the really quick thing kind of comes out like a big pressure. You know, it's like a tsunami knocking at your door. That, you know, it's like pop some pills and dull the senses. So, you know, it slows things down. And
yeah,
but the way he literally...
Right.
Go ahead. The way he literally said
it's
it, though.
Conflict.
And the timeline is that piece of us has to come home. There's no. It's not going anywhere. You can push it away all you want, but it's either going to be in this lifetime or another lifetime. It's a piece of self that, in the frequency we live in, it's literally, you know, be joined, or you know, or you're done being here. You know, like that. Because at some point, the frequency is, you know, if you look at science, you can't have, you know, a frequency of alpha in a data or delta.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? It's this is not a judgment call, but beta waves don't work in delta waves.
No,
and
it's
so,
science. You're right.
Right. And but when he said that again, it was something I just heard kind of new, where it was like, oh my God, you know, the antidepressants and all that, which make people feel so good, are inserting time into their bodies because we are moving out of time, i.e. becoming multidimensional. The fourth dimension is time, but where time used to like truly play such a huge part of our experiences, now, you know, it's kind of getting deregulated down to its proper, you know, one millionth, because there's a million other dimensions to play on that time isn't a factor.
Yeah.
And so, right?
Yeah,
so
and
I
I'm noticing that. Just even from what you heard me say tonight, you know, tonight, like, I am noticing, without even hearing him say that, but that just kind of confirms what I've been feeling is that the processing can be faster because of this timeline. And, you know, if you're not getting in your own way, and you're letting yourself feel the pressure, and you're letting yourself bring up the stuff that's difficult, and you know, and moving through it, and it's working quicker now. That's just what I'm feeling, and what he says supports that. And you know, medicating those feelings definitely. It's so funny that he calls it inserting time, because to me, I would say it slows down the process, which is exactly that.
That is what time does, exactly.
Isn't that amazing?
I know.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, well, and it's amazing that the pharmaceutical companies, think about time from a pharmacist. I mean, how many of us really kind of, do we need any more statistics and or proof that pharmaceuticals are not here to heal?
No, they slow down your process. You don't bring up and integrate. But isn't that amazing that just by saying that the way Robert Young is saying it makes so much sense, almost from a, like you said, an alpha versus, they just don't mix. You can't process at the velocity that is natural for this time on medication, because it's adding time and it's slowing down everything, and you know, it is a choice. But
I think what's happening is we're getting our panties in a bunch. because things aren't flowing, man. But boy, to utilize the flow, I'm talking. It's interesting because I've heard several people say this, but I just know it within myself. It might have taken us, let's just say, 1,400 lifetimes to separate ourselves and to come here, and you know, down through the millennium, and you know, whether we from the Atlantis time to you know to present, it will not take us 1,400 lifetimes to integrate all this. In fact, hello, we can do this in weeks, days, hours, months. That by the time the planet is ready to, so because once we go into that state of being, which is compressing down to the singularity point, and I'm still on the fence about, I don't believe we need all of us, you know, I think there's a tipping point. Like, I'm in the humble category that I believe if 51% of my stuff is integrated, that will be enough. Yes, there's a reason why, you know, the Illuminati always wanted 51 to 49. So I'm thinking it's got to be that truth in the world of ascension. You know, but again, it is also what it tells us, though, is also that it's kind of, this is top priority. This should be top priority for everybody. Everybody,
yeah.
Because the cycles are ending. Time is, now again, you know, there are people that, you know, still want to play in time, and it's in their soul's journey, and they will either, you know, do it through a death process or however else, you know, because I'm still under the impression that at some point ships are going to come and you know, be taking, you know, large amounts of the population off the planet. That I am absolutely still, you know, in that belief and timeline, and you know, rock and roll. Okay, it's all good. I'm not afraid. I am not afraid that I'm going to be duped on that ship. I'm not afraid.
See what a week does.
Yeah, no, God bless.
I never thought you were anyway.
No, and I know you didn't. I mean, you know, it's a funny thing because when you're in the middle of the processing,
I know.
I highly recommend don't sign contracts. You know, don't. The best thing to do is put yourself alone and in nature. That's what, you know, if you can. Even though, you know, Scott actually did pretty good, you know, giving me my space during this. You know, we had that one little scuffle thing, but, you know, I eradicated that problem. And, you know, we did pretty good. You know, but it's partially because, you know, it's almost, Simon, my relationship with you often reminds me of my relationship with Scott, in the sense that even with Janine, too, we're all just pretty cool with each other when we say, you know, listen, you know, we're processing. I can't talk now. I just need to be. And, you know, we all kind of go, okay.
You know, no, nobody pushes somebody, you know, oh, no, you got to come to the bar with me, or you got to come shopping with me, or, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. Because when you're doing this work and you're really doing the integration work, you know, it's really just, it's an inside job. And like I said, the only thing that I have found that works for me is being in nature, and often it, for me, it works being alone. And it's interesting because initially when you do it, you're not in that culture. You're not. Yeah, okay, all right, go. I'll save it for next week. I'll save it, you cuckoo birds. No, it's all good. It's all good. Doris, we love you.
Wait,
Simon,
those 2 hours
Dennis,
flew by.
Those 2 hours did fly by. They did.
Yeah. Listen, thanks,
so,
everybody.
Yeah, right on, right on. Can they find you?
Oh, I'm on my website. Is JL Kimmel, KIMMEL.com, and on Facebook, and SpringTreePress.com, which is...
There you go.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And I'm at another reality show. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and in the Echo Valley.
Yes. No. Well, because I'm thinking maybe I should call you and we should do it on one line.
Sure. That was a
first.
Because
that. Yeah. Because we can do that. So.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anotherrealityshow.com and, keep an eye for. There are some interviews. I am looking to look for Penny Pierce again. To have an interview with her again, and. And I'm also wondering what's going on with Anthony Farmer. So, you know, keep an eye out for those. And I love you guys. Thank you so much for sharing this with me. Janine, you rock, as always.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Yeah, I didn't hear any echoes. You were fine with me the whole night. And
thank
with
you,
that
everyone.
Happy note, yeah, thank you, everybody. We love you, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
Bye.